Welcome to An Hour to Give. This week is a very special show. We're focusing on kids giving back. We're going to be talking to them about philanthropy, community, and volunteerism. And I'm going to start the show today with Hillary McGibbon. Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
I am so excited to chat with you because you are...
I'm so excited to chat with you.
Oh, well, aren't you sweet? You are so kind, and I just love the way that you have shared your story. Let's tell listeners that may not be familiar with your story how it all started, Mother's Day of 2019.
Okay, so how it all started is basically, so we were just having a normal Mother's Day like any person would have. Then we got a little blood test. Then we went to sleep in our wonderful basement, because we do have party nights sometimes, but I don't do that anymore. Then we got a call. My mom and dad got a call and said, you got to rush your daughter to CHEO because there's something wrong with her blood. So we rushed. My legs were shaking so bad. So, yeah, we got to CHEO. They put me on a couple, like, whatever they're called, things, needles. And then we, the transfusions, then we got, like, put into another room to do another needle. And then we got into another room, a lot of rooms. And then we had to stay there for about, like, 6 or 7 days, I think it was. And, yeah, once I got home, I was really happy because I was on needles. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had to keep going on with our CHEO journey, and we're still doing it, but then they wanted me to do this medicine, which I was a little grossed out by. We switched on to the actual liquid, and then we did on the pills because we thought it would be better if we did the pills, and then we did the liquid. I'm telling all the details here.
That's okay. That's great.
I was diagnosed with idiopathic aplastic anemia, which is basically a disorder, blood disorder, that you don't produce that much blood as a normal human body would. Very sad, right? And I took cyclosporin, which is basically a medicine that helps your blood produce more. Took it for about like 2 years. We're done now, so I'm really happy about that. Now we're just going on with the CHEO journey and trying to make it.
How old are you, Hillary?
I'm 7 years old.
7 years old. So this has been quite a challenging time for you and your family.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging. But honestly, I kind of like staying home and just being with my family.
Mm-hmm. And you have got an incredible family. Your mom, of course, and your dad and your sister. It's been very challenging for all of you. But you seem to have such an incredible attitude, especially as a family.
Thank you.
And when you've turned this really into something that you and your family could have just kept this within, your own home, but you decided to share your story. And why do you think sharing your story was so important, Hillary?
I think it's so important because I just want to teach people how to, like, you know, when they have disease, I have, or a different disease where they have to go through something really hard. I just thought it would be fun to, and it would be good to share it with the world so they can learn some of my methods, and because we needed to get the swabbing and the giving blood out to the world.
It is so true. So let's talk about Canadian Blood Services. You have been very vocal about asking people to give blood and, of course, get swabbed. Tell us what those messages are.
So the get swabbed is basically when you go and order a kit off of line. And no, this is not a COVID swab, because I know people are scared of COVID swabs, just like me. If you're not, I'm very sorry. This is a cheek swab, which is basically taking not your DNA, but your spit to help see if you are a life-saving donor for a person, kind of like me. So basically what you do is you order a kit off of the line, off of their website, which is blood.ca. And then you have to open the kit. There is 4 swabbing sticks in the kit. And one of the them has two, which you're going to take one of them and you're going to swab your cheek. There's two inside of one of them, and it's really easy. You just have to make sure you swab with different ones on each side of the cheek because it's not sanitary to do with both. So, and then you have to mail it back to them and just see if you're a life-saving donor for someone like me.
Really important, Hillary. Of course, this is the message from Canadian Blood Services as well, wanting to increase the amount of blood donations, especially during this time. And what kind of response have you got? You've been very active, of course, on Twitter. How do people respond to these requests that you make?
Well, they respond a lot because we need to get the message out a lot. And we have a lot of pen pals. We had this whole class from Smith Falls who sent like a bunch of letters to me, and I'm currently writing back to them right now.
Really is important to keep this message flowing. And at 7 years old, this is really a form of philanthropy. Have you ever heard that word before?
No, I haven't.
So the word philanthropy is really about things like donations, whether it be money or whether it be, you know, like you sharing your story and trying to increase donations of a different kind. And of course, that's to Canadian Blood Services. So philanthropy is a really big word for being really awesome and really kind.
Yes, I love that word now.
And that's you.
Yeah.
And what is it like, Hillary, to go through this journey? You know, you know some pretty big words, medical words, and you're only seven years old. Do you ever think about that?
Well, I've thought about it like two or three times. That's all.
Yeah, it's really been an interesting time, of course. And when we think about philanthropy, too, we think about how you've inspired other people. Do you know anybody that you've inspired?
I think I've inspired, like, many people. Like, I inspired my dad to donate for the first time. He actually donated, which I'm really proud. My mom has donated her whole life, so I'm really happy for that too. But my dad actually donated for the first time like a couple of years ago, so I'm really happy about that.
Let's talk a little bit about giving blood and keeping the supply up. Of course, it's been challenging during COVID-19 for Canadian Blood Services to inspire people to give blood. What's your message at this time, Hillary, for people to give blood?
My message is to just giving blood because there's literally only like 4% of the world literally giving blood, and we need to increase that more.
Mm-hmm. So important. And I know, you know, kids like you that are going through things that are so challenging really does inspire other people. But you know lots of other kids that are going through something similar. How do you communicate with them? Are you in touch with many of them?
I'm in touch with a couple of them. I'm in touch with Maverick and a couple other kids. I just can't remember their names right now.
Yeah, I think it's really important you have that community around you too, right? And when we think about sort of your future and everything that you're going to do in your young life, how do you think this is going to shape you, the journey that you've been on, Hillary?
I think it's going to be pretty normal, but there's some things going to be so medical in my life, like some needles once in a while. I think my life's going to be perfect.
I think your life's going to be perfect, too. Do you have any idea what you want to be when you grow up?
I really want to be a singer because you might have heard my singing on Twitter.
Oh, I
know
have.
I don't really sing that much.
Yeah.
I just really want to be a singer and try to give some of the money that I've gotten to the homeless and my sister because she's going to be a teacher. And, you know, teachers don't get paid that much. I'm going to help her out and stuff. And I'm also going to help out other teachers around the world.
Wow, aren't you a sweetheart. And tell me about your sister. How has this been with your sister? She's been very supportive.
Yes, she has been very supportive. It's been amazing. We've gotten into a little fight, but that's the point. It's been very nice with her, and she understands me perfectly, and it's been amazing.
I think all sisters have those moments, but overall, there's good stuff there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And let's talk, Hillary, about sort of moving forward. And we're in this, obviously, this time of a pandemic and COVID. What are you looking forward to? I know there's been times where you had to isolate way before all of us were isolating. When we can sort of open up and do whatever we want, what are you hoping to do?
I'm hoping to just, I guess, spend some more time with my family outside of the home. Like, maybe go to dinner together because we haven't been to dinner like at places in like so long. Or maybe go to like a couple water slides or something. Or maybe go on a trip or something.
I love that. And let's talk, Hillary. You've inspired your dad to give for the first time. Of course, as you said, your mom has been giving for a long time. What would you say to someone that has never donated blood before?
I would say you should actually give blood because it can increase the blood industry and it's going to help a lot of people that are of different color and that are still the color that we are.
It's such an important message. And for people that have, given to CHEO and given to a lot of different charities that you've been a part of, including Canadian Blood Services, what would you say to all those donors that have given their money to help?
I would say thank you so much, and it helped so much to the industry of blood businesses and other like saving businesses, and also Make-A-Wish. People who have given money to them is helping so many little kids and so many people and so many kids who are like wishing for their wishes once they get better.
I always leave just a little bit better, actually a lot better, every single time that we talk. Hillary McGibbon, it has been my honor today. Thank you so much for spending time with us here on An Hour to Give.
Thank you so much for letting me have this opportunity, and I love talking with you.
Ah,
So
you're so sweet.
anytime you want to talk with me, I will definitely do it.
I'm going to take you up on that. Stay with us for more amazing kids. We're talking with incredible kids today, and now we're speaking with Xander Zatilny. Hi, Xander.
Hi.
Xander, you have an incredible story. Tell me about your story with your heart.
So I was born with chronic arteriosus. It's a rare condition, and it's where I had two valves that were connected, and I had my first open heart when I was 22 days old, and I still have some surgeries in the future, but yeah, I'm doing pretty well right now.
Well, you sound fantastic. And I
Thanks.
understand you've been cared for in Quebec, but also here at CHEO.
Yes, I have.
And what's that been like? Do you remember going to the hospital?
I do remember going to the hospital there and then. CHEO has just been amazing. Like, just they're so careful, and if you ask them to do anything, I'm pretty sure that they'll do that for you. They're just amazing.
And the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario certainly is looking for people to give back, and you certainly have given back in a very big way.
Yeah, so I have my own podcast, and you could see that. You could go check that out at xanderzatilny.com. And on my website, I sell merchandise, and all the proceeds go to CHEO. So, like me as a kid, I can't do very much, but doing this, I think, would help a lot.
So I have to tell you, I think you're actually doing a lot. And I think kids can do a lot. And that's why today I really wanted to focus on young people that have big hearts. And you really do have a big heart. Do you ever think about your journey and how you're helping other kids?
Yes, well, I do think of that a lot. I think like giving back to CHEO is amazing because they have, like I said, they have done so much for me. So I want to have a chance to, give back to CHEO and help other kids. And yeah.
You've had some incredible experiences, Xander. Let's talk about your podcast. Who have you had on your podcast?
Oh my gosh, I have had a lot of people. I've had Brooke Henderson. I've had Kevin Cahane, the CHEO president for the foundation. I've had Daryl Fox, Terry Fox's brother, Bethany Maddox Sands. I've had so many people.
I think you're pretty incredible to be able to do that, especially at your age. Tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 11 years old.
I got to tell you, I don't think I was doing anything as spectacular at 11 years old as you have. let's talk about the support of your family. Walk us through who's in your family.
So I have my dad, Stephen Zatoni, my mom, Crystal Raymond, and my sister, Charlotte Zatoni. And I have my dog that was there for me for my last surgery. His name's Bentley. We don't know if he's a Zatoni or a Raymond yet. Me and my dad are still arguing about that. But my family, like I said, was so supportive for all my surgeries and with my podcast, because I got my microphone for a late birthday present, and my dad was like, imagine if we could start interviewing people. And then I was like, you know what? Let's do that. So my dad got me all the equipment that I needed. We started to do like a Steelers podcast together, and my dad kept on supporting me to do it and keep on doing it. And it was amazing, and it's working.
Your family is a big sports family. Why do you think that is?
Well, so my dad, he played in the CFL for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and my Uncle Wally Zatoni, he played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL. My mom, she played softball, and my sister plays soccer, and my mom also used to play basketball, and I play hockey, baseball. I played football. I played soccer for like 1 year, and I went to like a tennis camp.
What do you think it is about sports, Xander, that really brings people together?
Well, I mean, sports is, it's not just one game. It's everybody. Like, everybody has to play the game. You just can't play the game by yourself, or else you would just lose all the time and it wouldn't be fun. So I think sports has gotten me a lot of friends, and it's just all about teamwork. So you get together and, you know, and there's not anymore because of this COVID, but there's team breakfasts and team lunches and dinners. So I think that brings us all together, and you know, we make a lot of friends for that.
It sounds like sports sounds a lot like building a community.
Yeah.
It's really important. And I think, you know, the fact that you've been helped by CHEO, but now you're turning around and helping CHEO, that really sounds like teamwork as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I just, like I said, CHEO has just been amazing, just amazing, and they've been they've taken such great care for me and like all the other kids. They've just been amazing, and that's the, you know, that's just, I just doing a little thing and for CHEO, and but because I can't, like I said, I can't do very much as a kid, but like this is the my way of giving CHEO, you know, help.
And let's talk about the merch, because you sound like, you know, you're obviously a superstar. So every superstar has this merch that they're selling, this merchandise. What what do you have available for people to buy? And of course, the proceeds going back to CHEO.
So yeah, I have sweaters. So you could get it, and hoodie, sorry, and you could get it. So it has my logo on it, my Z Podcast logo. You could get a baseball t-shirt, and you could get little sweaters for your kids, and you could pick out your size. And then when you pay for it, like I said, all the proceeds go to CHEO. And in February 14th, I'm pretty sure, Valentine's Day, I'm going to do a pod-a-thon where it's going to be like 2-3 hours, and I'm going to interview a bunch of people, and I'm going to probably play piano. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff on that day, and it's good, and it's all the proceeds, so you could donate. It's going to be a live stream, and you donate, and all those donations go to CHEO.
Really amazing, Xander. How do your friends react when they hear you doing all of these great things to give back?
So, my friends react pretty normally, you know, like they're the same age as me, and they're just like, some of them are 10, some of them are 11, and some of them are 12. Most of them are 11. And, you know, they are like, oh, really? Like, that's amazing. And when I did the interview with Brooke Henderson and Daryl Fox, so Daryl Fox, we did a, we spent the whole morning, me and my classmates, we spent the whole morning putting together questions and all that stuff. And for Brooke Henderson, we did the same thing. And so, yeah, my classmates react, you know, surprised on every person that I interview. So, yeah, it's pretty cool seeing them, how they react.
And what school do you go to, Xander?
I go to St. Anne's Elementary School.
Well, that's great. We certainly hope that they're listening today to our time together. And when we think, Xander, about what you want to do in the future, do you have your sights set on any career path yet?
So in the future, when I grow up, I was thinking on being an actor or a doctor. And because if I become a doctor, it would be amazing, because then I could help kids that I went through, and it's going to be, you know, amazing, because like I just said, I'm helping other kids. And during that time, I would love to keep my podcast going and do more streams, and maybe a professional athlete one day. And so, yeah.
I love all those dreams. And, you know, when we think about the doctors and the nurses at the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, I often think about them as superheroes. You know, we think about Spider-Man and Wonder Woman and all those different superheroes. But I think the real superheroes are the doctors and nurses at CHEO. What do you think?
Yeah, they're the real superheroes, honestly. They're probably better than Superman and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, all those superheroes. But yeah, I think that the doctors and nurses are like the true superheroes.
I'm with you on that. And if they're listening right now, because some of your doctors might be listening and some of your nurses and all of the support staff at CHEO, what would you say to them, Xander?
Thank you. That's what I would say to them. Thank you for everything that you've done for me, because what you have done for me is amazing, and what you have done for other kids is amazing. And yeah, just thank you.
And when you talk to your mom and dad about doing these different initiatives, what do mom and dad say?
They honestly say, just go for it. Honestly, they just say, yeah, you can do whatever you want. At least it's not something that would get you into trouble, or so they just say, like, dream big, do whatever you want. Like I said, that wouldn't hurt anybody or wouldn't hurt yourself. And yeah.
Well, I've seen a picture of you, and we've had a couple of discussions, and I just can't even imagine you getting into trouble.
Well, I mean, me getting in trouble, I get in trouble sometimes. Like I said in the TSN interview, it wasn't the first time that I've seen the principal's office. But I don't get in trouble a lot. I usually just get in trouble for, like, minor things.
Well, that's good to hear. I think you're a super kid. I think you're amazing. And Xander Zatilny, it has been an absolute pleasure to spend time with you today. Thanks for sharing your message and your support of CHEO.
Thank you so much for having me. And is it okay if I do like a little shout out?
Sure.
Okay, so I want to shout out to my school, St. Anne's, and my teachers, Madame St. Laurent and Miss LeBlanc. I would like to shout out to all my friends, my baseball friends, my doctors, my hockey friends, And yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Well, I think that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Xander. And please stay with us for more An Hour to Give. Welcome back to An Hour to Give. We're talking about the incredible impact of philanthropy, especially in our community. And we wanted to welcome Megan Boyd to the show. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm great. I love chatting with you. I think you're somebody that is a real leader in our community. Megan, take me back to 2010. Very, very tragically, we lost somebody very special here in Ottawa, Darren Richardson. Tell me about your involvement with the Do It for Darren initiative.
So I've been involved with Do It for Darren since 2010. After Darren's passing, we wanted to keep participating and keep showing our support. So we started fundraising, we started bake sales, everyone was wearing purple, and that has just kind of stuck. So that's something that's still very special to me. So it's been 9.5 years now. I always used to volunteer with my family. We would fundraise for various causes. We were fundraising for Parkinson's, which my grandfather had before he passed. So it was always something that was very known to me. It was very familiar. And I knew that it was important to do. So I think that's why I was so set on getting involved in fundraising for something so important like mm-hmm. mental health, and especially youth mental health.
You know, when I think back to, I was thinking when we were preparing for today, I remember exactly where I was when I learned of Darren's passing.
Yeah.
And I think from a mental health perspective, many conversations were had around mental health because of Darren's passing. And, you know, obviously, tragically for the Richardson family, but they really did try to, and they continue to be so open about it, really to help other families. And is that one of the driving factors for you as well, Megan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so important for youth to get involved in, youth to have these conversations, because it makes sure that their voices are heard. And when it comes to mental health, it is something that used to be, and not so much anymore, but something that wasn't talked about so often. So the fact that we can speak so openly about mental health and youth mental health today is a huge factor as to why I think there are so many success stories, and to why so many people have done so well, because they feel like they're able to talk about it now.
The Royal Ottawa Mental Health Centre Foundation has been such an important piece of the Do It for Darren initiative. How have they raised money for this incredible initiative?
So there have been numerous people involved in raising money and numerous initiatives that have taken place to raise money for DIFD. I think what's important to remember, in addition to raising money, obviously, because that is so incredibly important, but youth feel like they can't participate in volunteering or fundraising because they can't give financially. That's not necessary always. It's so important to also give your time, your passion, your energy, and your platforms. And I think that's really important. And that's something that people don't even realize that they have or that they can offer. Mm-hmm. But in terms of financially supporting and raising funds, we've had bake sales. I actually worked with a group of students at Algonquin when I was there, and we fundraised for DIFD. We had guessing games with candy jars. We had a bake sale. That's something that we started 9 years ago, was doing those bake sales. So that's also something that we've continued, and people have done runs. You know, the Run for Women is something that's out of the Royal, and I am the captain of Team DIFD. And, you know, we raise lots of money every year through that. So there are lots of different avenues, but again, it's more than just giving financially.
And how do you think the philanthropy side of your work over the last close to 10 years has really shaped you as a person?
So I think that fundraising has significantly had an impact on my life and me as a person. It has allowed me to develop relationships with a lot of people that I wouldn't have necessarily had the chance to. And I went on to study in the public relations program at Algonquin, and I was able to shed a lot of light on youth mental health and bring a lot of awareness to DIFD and Royal specifically through that. And I think my experiences in the program and my experience just fundraising and being with people has really shown me that that's what I want to continue doing. So I hope that I can continue that as I move throughout my career and my life, and continue to make an impact on people and speak up and ensure that everyone's voices are heard, and just continue to create awareness for causes that are so important.
And what would you say, Megan, to somebody that's maybe listening and their kids are listening too, and thinking about ways that they can give back to their community? What words of wisdom would you share with them?
So like I mentioned before, if you can give financially, obviously that is wonderful and that is one of the first steps. However, there are other ways to give. That includes your time and your passion. So whatever you believe in and whatever your passion is, I think it's so important to have passion projects and to really, you know, advocate for causes that are important to you. And also use your platform. Something that is so common today is that people are on social media, especially youth. You know, youth are on TikTok now and Twitter and Instagram, and use those platforms to your advantage. And if you have a message that you want to share, definitely share on those platforms. And young people inspire young people. So just continue to do what you're doing and create awareness and get your friends and your family involved. And yeah.
It really is, you know, so inspiring to hear young people doing things. When you also hear about young people giving back to the community, what kind of words come to mind for you?
Oh, it's just amazing. Inspirational, one, unbelievable, heartwarming. Just, it's almost very emotional to see a young person really get invested in something and just become a complete advocate for something.
And during COVID-19, you know, we've seen the different people step up in the community. What's this been like for you during this time?
I mean, I think like many people, it definitely causes you to slow down and reflect on what's important and really prioritize yourself and your physical health and your mental health. You know, it's not easy to just get outside or go see friends. And I think it's really important to prioritize the self and, you know, take that time that you need and really, you know, give someone a call, FaceTime somebody, get out for a walk by yourself or for a run if you're a runner. And I think that's something that I've been really happy that I've been able to focus on is, you know, just mental wellness and sharing that with people, because, you know, this is a difficult time. And, you know, I'm lucky that I'm able to see my family. I'm visiting them in Calgary right now, actually, which has been really lovely and, you know, a mental health booster, that's for sure. But I think we just need to stay positive and to continue the measures that we're taking.
It's so important, of course, at this time to remain close to our values and to what we really, you know, value in our lives. And I think community, philanthropy, volunteerism have all been at the forefront of that. And I think moving forward, I'm hoping that this same spirit of community takes us forward through, obviously, 2021. And really, when we look back on COVID, I'm hoping that's one of the results. How do you feel about that? Is that what your hope is, too?
Oh, absolutely. I hope that this time, like you said, has given people, you know, the ability to focus on these types of things, because it's times like this when we need fundraising and we need volunteerism more than ever. And I hope that, you know, people have been able to devote some time to that, and they'll continue to do so once we get back to normal life.
Normal life, of course, we're hoping is coming sooner than later. Megan, let's talk a little bit about your career path, and is it going to include some nonprofit work?
Oh, I certainly hope so. Certainly, I'm an assistant consultant at Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Ottawa, and I hope that I get to continue my career, whether that be in, you know, the not-for-profit field or the communications field like I am in now. But I definitely hope that I get to continue my work with not-for-profit and DIFD and the Royal, especially. I don't think that will be changing anytime soon.
Well, we certainly need young leaders and leaders like yourself taking up the reins of those fundraising initiatives moving forward. And, you know, I think especially this year, we've really seen the importance of nonprofits and working with government to make sure those gaps are filled. And I think the mental health piece has been such an important piece of that. And I'll tell you, Megan, in my time when I was young, like we think back to 10 years ago, when, you know, you were sort of learning about mental health, I didn't have that as a young person. We didn't talk about those things. And I'm hoping that the Do It For Darren initiative and all the great work really does spread that word and spread it forever. And that really becomes Darren's legacy.
Absolutely. And we will be running this summer in the virtual Run for Women again, Team DIFD. So if anyone wants to join, we will absolutely be participating again this year.
And so tell me a little bit about that event.
So the virtual Run for Women, the first virtual Run for Women, happened the summer of 2020. And everyone from Canada was able to join, no matter which province you were in. And you basically just ran by yourself or distanced with a friend or walked, and you could participate just like normal. However, the difference was that your entire registration fee went towards initiatives at the Royal that helped mental health programs for women. So that will be the same thing this year. And we hope that our numbers are even bigger than they were last year. And it's just a really fun opportunity to get out, especially in the summer. It will be nice to be outside. We'll be able to, you know, distanced walk or run. And it'll just be a great opportunity to, again, like you said, have that sense of community and collaboration and also do something good.
Megan Boyd, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for telling us about Do It For Darren, the initiative through the Royal. Stay with us here for an hour to give. We're going to hear from one more incredible person. Really has been an incredible time to speak with inspiring people. And our next guest is Kat Stockdale. How are you, Kat?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, you've been very kind and participating in many different philanthropic adventures for Do It For Darren. Walk me through how you got involved with this initiative.
In my high school, my teacher allowed us to pursue something we were passionate about. So a group of girls and I were really passionate about youth mental health and the organization DIFD. We were also athletes. So through that organization, we came up with some fundraisers, like a girls versus guys hockey game. And we were very creative with other fundraisers as well.
Really is incredible. And of course, did you have any connection to the Richardson family?
I did not know them when I first started. I grew up playing hockey and heard about what happened. And that's really where I became involved in the organization, because we always wore the patches on our jersey and we all knew about it. So that's really where. And then I met Stephanie at We Day when we performed at We Day together, and their family is just amazing. They're so sweet and kind, and yeah, I'm so glad to help such an amazing organization.
When we think about Darren, and we know how passionate she was about hockey, did you feel a connection that way?
Yeah, I definitely did. When I heard about Darren, I was also playing hockey and just felt like, wow, other people playing hockey and other sports as well could be facing similar issues. So that's where I got involved, to help people that are afraid to speak out. And yeah.
What was it like to be supported by your school for this type of initiative? Because so many people think about school as a place to just learn math and science and English, but they don't really think about those values that are instilled with us in terms of philanthropy.
Yeah, it was awesome because my teacher, Mrs. Chambers, she allowed us to get involved in the community. She had this process of thinking that was more of unlearning, she called it, where you help out the community through various organizations, and in doing so, you improve yourself and improve the community together as one to hopefully help others. And by doing that in my high school, it really helped me for future because it opened my eyes up to the community and involvement. And yeah, so it was a very good experience. I'm super glad that my high school gave me the opportunity to pursue
it. And if Mrs. Chambers was listening right now, Kat, what would you say to her?
I would say thank you because thank you for all the stuff she's taught me about the community, because without her, I wouldn't be involved in the DIFD Foundation and all the stuff I was able to accomplish with my friends in our group. Raising over $2,000 for youth mental health has been huge. And so just giving us the opportunity to find really what we truly want to pursue and look at and are passionate about in school was awesome. So thank you, Ms. Chambers.
That's awesome. How do you think it strengthened you as a hockey team to work on those initiatives as well?
Yeah, it strengthened us a lot because it made us closer as a team, because if someone was feeling down one day, you would feel confident talking to one another. So just having the ability to talk to one another on our team really helped as well.
And how were you supported by the Royal Foundation in your initiatives?
Yeah, through DIFD, I got to meet some people that worked at the Royal, because on Wednesdays I would come in some days and work with a girl named Natasha, who is super kind, and she set me up with other people at the Royal who I could talk to and help out with some of their galas and go to We Day as well. So I met a lot of people there as well.
And I think those connections are so vital, especially as you're thinking about your own career path and what you're hoping to do. They're really important, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. Where are we chatting with you today?
So I'm currently in Storrs, Connecticut, because I go to school at the University of Connecticut.
And how did you come to go to university in the States?
Yeah, so I play on the women's hockey team here. And since I was young, I talked to the school and I love the campus. So finally coming here this year for my freshman year, it's been really nice to finally make reality come true.
Are you able to still work on some of the Do It For Darren fundraising efforts from where you are?
It's definitely very busy here, but keeping in touch with people and friends in my group, we're definitely thinking about some ideas on how, since we're all in different places now, going to school, we can come together and work on new projects through the DIFD Foundation.
I think that volunteerism is so important, of course. And of course, the high school, you know, asks you to do so many hours. Was that a chore for you or was it a pleasure?
Oh, it was definitely more a pleasure. I didn't even look at it as a chore at all because we got to pick what we wanted to do. They didn't just tell us, oh, work on this. So we actually chose to pick this, which is what made it so happy, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Of course, you were very young when Darren passed away. Did your parents talk to you at all about Darren's passing?
Yeah, my parents did. They talked to me about talking to them if I ever fell down, and just we had a conversation about being open with one another, which helped a lot growing up. And yeah, so they did talk to me about it.
And I think that's really what Darren's legacy is, you know, we've talked a lot about Darren today, and I think her legacy is that those conversations are happening at the table. And of course, the Richardson family, as we've said, have been so open and really brave sharing their story. What legacy do you want to see out of the work that you're doing with this organization? What is your dream, let's say, for 5 or 10 years from now?
My dream would be to have all youth to feel comfortable to come forward and seek help when they need it, and also advocate for others. If you see someone is struggling, advocate for one another and be there for one another, and especially simply asking people if they're okay, and also promoting people to support youth mental health, and by doing so, raise awareness that it's okay not to be okay. So I think that is my huge goal for the future, to make the stigma more open so that people feel okay with, and then can find who they truly are.
It's so important. And I think this is where community and family really strike this beautiful balance, right? Because we're asking families to really have those conversations, and of course with your friends as well. The philanthropic work that you've done, the fundraising work, describe how that feels when you think back to the monies that were raised and where those monies will be used.
It's definitely you feel very proud of yourself, because the money can go towards a good cause for, like, people my age and anyone really struggling with youth mental health. And not only does it have to do with the money, the awareness that it creates is amazing. Like, I've had people come up to me and say, thank you so much for talking about this and bringing it up, because it has inspired me to seek help. And just hearing people come forward and tell me their stories is truly amazing. And I hope that's really what makes my work and the things I've done truly worth it.
And did you ever think of yourself as a philanthropist?
I'm definitely inspired to do things for the community. So yeah, maybe.
It's a pretty big word, but I think it covers so much of the initiative, certainly, that you've done, giving your time and talent and, of course, those important dollars to help those initiatives move forward, especially in Darren's name. What would you say to Luke and Stephanie Richardson? Have you ever had a chance to speak with them?
Yeah, I spoke to Stephanie a couple times, and they are an amazing family. Like, the work that they've put together, this whole organization, they are so inspiring. And when they tell their story, and Luke and Stephanie and their whole family, they're so kind. And the work that they created through this whole organization for people is truly amazing.
It really is. And when you come back to Ottawa and you're driving down Carling Avenue and you look at the Royal Ottawa, do you feel a sense of sort of dedication to that organization?
Yeah, it definitely makes me smile. And I'm always looking to help out with the Royal whenever they need. And yeah, it's a happy place.
It is a happy place, and I think that's really an important aspect of why I wanted to speak with youth today, because I think the messages that you're sending about how everyone can make a difference, every single person, no matter what age, can make an impact on the community. What would you say to someone listening that maybe has donated to one of your initiatives?
I would say thank you. Every piece of encouragement and help that someone donates is all worth it. And thank you so much for supporting the cause in youth mental health, because together we can help many people around the world.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. Thank you so much to Kat Stockdale for your time today. And thank you so much to all of my guests. I hope you've been inspired by the youth that we've spoke to, their fundraising initiatives, their volunteerism, their sense of community has certainly inspired me today. Thank you so much for listening to An Hour to Give.